Let the church say amen. Amen. God is good. As Brother Miles has already said, and all the time, God is good. Let us be ever thankful to Him. You know, we've made it from saying that last week to bringing that back again this week. So God has blessed us to be here for at least one more week. And He's given us the start of a brand new week. And nevertheless, as I always say, and as you always say, God is good.
All the time.
All the time. This morning, I'm so glad to see each and every one of you, and I hope that each and every one of you had a good week. And I can tell by the fact that you are here, your week had to be somewhat good, if not all good, as the young folks say today. So be thankful to God that He has spared your life to be here. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we are blessed once again. We are blessed because we are beginning a new week and beginning it off with Your day, O Lord, the Lord's Day. We thank You that we have an opportunity and a privilege to come into the house of the Lord. We thank You for Your Son who died, bled, and hung on yonder's cross that we may have this opportunity. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member in here today, and we pray for those who are not here. We just pray that if it be Thy will, that You would get them here and have them back here safely and securely to be here with us once again at the next appointed time. We thank You, O Lord, and pray for the sick and the shut in, especially those of the household of faith. We just pray that if it be Your will, You would give them and grant unto them at least, if not all, at least a reasonable portion of their health and their strength. We thank You, Lord, for sending Your Son once again because He died, because not because of what He did, but because of what we did and what we were. And He saved us, O Lord, and we thank You for Him. We pray and thank You this morning for the parents of our children, especially those who are trying to raise them up in the right way. We pray and thank You, Father, as we speak this word this morning that we're going to be talking about children. And we just pray and ask You to guard, guide, and grant us with Your Heavenly Spirit that we may preach the Word of God. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for those who serve our every need, the doctors, the firemen, the policemen, when we call upon them, O Lord. We just pray and ask You to be with us and watch over and keep us and give us our strength, O Lord. Watch over us now, Father, as we move on into the next portion of our services. Be with us and watch over and keep us, Lord, in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Let us all say, amen. Amen. Bringing children to Jesus, as was read for your hearing from the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew, starting with verse number 13. Then were there brought unto Him little children, that He should put His hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked Him. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And He laid His hands on them and departed thence. So we want to talk for a few minutes this morning about bringing children to Jesus. The news today is full of stories involving children, both good and bad news. It seems as though they are confused and don't know which way to turn. They don't know if they are supposed to be like their parents or if they should follow their own ways. Parents are sometimes unable to help their children because they themselves had no guidance as children. But the Word of God in today's text shows us that Jesus has a place for children. I believe that that presents for parents an insight to know how we are to treat them as well. How can we bring our children to the Master if we can't understand what we are to do? I want you to watch this morning the Word of God. This message today is meant to encourage everyone who has some interactions with children, but especially for the parents of children. Parents must once, number one, love their children. Some parents may not always love their children. Some say they are adults now and they are on their own. But what we fail to understand is that they will always be our children. When we get 60 and they are 30, they are just as much our children as they were at birth. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Word of God. Turn over with me, if you will, to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and the verse starts at verse number 4. Listen to what the Bible says. That they may teach the young women. Well, I'm going to start with verse number 1 so you'll know where I'm coming from. But speak thou of the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men should be sober, grave, temperate, and sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. But here's where I want to really get started at. The aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And this is my point, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children. Okay, so we got duties of the aged women in the church to in order to teach the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Well, I would hope that we get an example there from the Bible. The Bible gives instructions on to older women, and I want to just make a change there. The Bible says aged women, that the aged women, so I won't use the term older, I'll say the aged women, knowing and in a training position and knowing how to teach the younger women how to love their husbands as well as their children. Some young folk get an attitude sometimes when being told they must love their children. But when the Bible speaks, we all should listen. Older, or as the Bible calls them once again, aged women sometimes have better access to the younger women than even the church leaders. So older women, younger, aged women, when you see an opportunity, just step in and teach the younger women something. This scripture was written to the young wives, but because many young parents are not married, let us not refuse to offer guidance to them as well. For we may win a soul to Christ in doing so. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7, the Bible states, "Beloved, let us love one another, for the love of God and everyone that loveth is born of God. And knoweth God." But I want you to watch verse number 8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Here lies part of society's problem, I believe, today. Too many of our troubled youth often have not felt parental love. They have not heard "I love you" enough from their parents, because their parents never heard it from their parents, and therefore they don't know how to give it to their children. To those parents who have no love for their children, I suggest and ask God to grant love unto us, for God is love. Ask God to grant love to enter into your heart. You know, it's not easy raising children today, but when we raise children, we want to raise them that they may come unto Jesus. We want to bring them unto Jesus. We want them to be raised up that they know Jesus. And sometimes the parents don't know Jesus, so they can't teach Jesus to their children. Then not only must they teach their children, must they love their children, but they also must teach and train their children. The Lord God gives His commandments to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 7. But we'll start with verse number 5. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and soul and all thy might." Then when you drop down to verse number 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." So we've got biblical applications for teaching our children. We must first know the Lord ourselves, then we can become better equipped to teach our children. The word teach means to give or reveal knowledge to another on what they must do. Today there is far too little positive teaching going on with our children. That's why I was so proud of that young baseball team this summer who went all the way and won their league championship, won the world championship, as a matter of fact. We gave children a voice to speak, and sometimes we ought to listen to our children, but never let your children forget who is in charge of them. And then we need to remember who is in charge of us as parents. And once we can set the order of who is in charge, then we have a better opportunity to get our kids and to bring our kids to Jesus. See, what we do today, we give children a telephone, we give them a TV, and we give them a computer or an iPad and tell them, look what mommy and daddy got for you. But what we basically say to them is you are on your own, and there's not too much negativity, and there's so much negativity in cyberspace to trust a child to navigate without his or her parent. We are to not only teach them, we are also to train them. You know, when we train the direction where our kids are supposed to go, and you all know where I'm going with this. I'm going to Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, where the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is an instructional verse. It is for parents and instructors of children. And let me make one thing perfectly clear before I go too far. The Bible says he will not depart from training, but we all know that some do depart from their training. But they stand a better chance of recovery if they have been trained early on in the Bible. So when you think about it, when our kids grow up, they still need guidance sometimes. They still need guidance because we are still their parents. And you know something? Any of you with older children, and I call them children, they are adults now, but even though they are adults, once they are our children, they are still our children. And no matter how far they go, if they go off to school, if they go off in life and get their own families, they are still our children. And when we think about them in terms of being our children, we'll never lose that ability to at least try and teach them and try and change them. When they stand a better chance of recovery, then they'll usually take that chance and recover their training and remember their training, I should say. Let me also clarify the difference between, I've already given you the definition of teaching, but let me tell you what training means. Teach means to tell them how to do something, give them the knowledge on how to do something, but training means to show them how to do something. So in other words, if you want to bring your children to Christ, you got to show your children that you will come to Christ yourself. I would agree on one thing, that computers can both teach and train a child, but it cannot take the place of a parent's love. Computers cannot show love, and neither can it show encouragement to our children. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means, fathers, don't make your children angry. Don't provoke them to anger, but bring them up in a loving environment. That means that you are to be love yourself to them. Too many children today are growing up without the presence of a father in the house. So some grow up in wrath, some grow up in anger, and some grow up with hostility. And they sometimes take it out on others in society. And many times innocent people will suffer. Society has to deal with the issues in the best way possible. And usually it's in the form of a distant outside party. Someone who don't really know your children, but they take over your role as parent. They decide, well, let's send them to jail. Let's send them to foster care. Let's send them away from their real parent because their real parent wasn't doing the job in the first place. So they feel they have a better opportunity of doing the job. And these children grow up angry, many of them, at society. They become angry and they have anger issues. And then when you walk down the street, they bop you on your head. Children must be trained and taught that they are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. When no parent has taught them, how are they to know this verse? So what can we do? We as parents must continue to love our children. We must continue to teach and train our children. And you know, loving a child sometimes is not easy. Especially if you got a little knucklehead. Training a child means that you must love them enough to give them this proper training. You must love them enough to teach them. You must love them enough to tell them when right is right and wrong is wrong. You know, some folks, some parents especially, are guilty of this one thing. They are guilty of not bringing their children to Christ. But you see what the text says in chapter 19 and verse 13 of Matthew. It says, Then were there brought unto him little children, and he should put his hands on them and pray, and disciples rebuke him. I want you to notice one word in that text there. I want you to notice the word pray. All parents ought to know how to send up a good prayer for their children, on behalf of their children and on behalf of their family. You know, when you pray, God always listens to our prayer. Now, I know what some say, that the Bible says that God does not hear all prayers, but God hears all prayers. He may not answer all prayers, but God hears everything that we say and we do in this life. So as a parent, we've got to learn to bring our kids up through prayer and lead them or direct them that we may bring them to Christ. And look what verse 14 says. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and notice this word, forbid them not, that phrase I should say, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed then. So we've got to do right by our children. And I know this is not Mother's Day and this is not Father's Day, but I'm preaching this message anyway because children are dominating the news these days. Children are dominating the news for both good and bad things. Children are in the news for everything. And you know, we've got to learn to protect our children. We've got to learn to protect them from the evils that are out in the world. And when you give them this iPad or this computer and you turn them loose, you're turning them loose to everything that's out there in cyberspace. We've got to learn to temper our children with love. Take some time out, and instead of letting them play games all the time on their iPads and their computers, give them a Bible study application. Let them study one of the apps that will deal with the Bible if you can't do it yourself. But it would be better if you studied it with them. I like this one commercial that I see on TV. This one commercial where the father, the parent I assume, is asking the child, which Cheerios do you like? And the little boy tells one, and then he changes his mind and he says the second one. But he ends up by saying, I like the one the most that I eat with you. So that shows a little bit of togetherness and love and harmony when parents can sit down and do something as simply as eating breakfast with their children. Something simply as spending a few minutes with them. And I know what you say, I don't have time, I have to go to work. Well, you ought to make some time. You ought to take a little time and give a little time to your children. It'll be well worth it in the end. So then after we have love, after we love our children, teach and train them, we must bring them to the Lord. In verse number 13, as I just read there, the children were brought unto Jesus. Accordingly, we as parents should be pleased to allow all of our children to be brought to Christ, for it is right. Do you remember in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1? Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Our young folk must be taught that the world is vanity, and following the world brings no satisfaction for their soul. They must be taught and trained that the world has not what the Lord has, which is eternal life. They must do it before the evil days come, in which sickness and death will soon come their way. Oh yeah, we must learn to train them by showing them that we are followers of God. Teach them while we still can. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 15, the Bible says, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. The longer the one waits, the better the chance that their heart may become hardened from the passing of years. And from the passing of these years, sometimes comes sickness and disease and disablements. I want you to make no mistake about it. The church plays a duty in this too. The church has a duty to help bring the lost and unsaved to Christ. Now when we bring the lost and unsaved to Christ, and let me just clarify something. When I say the children, I mean children whatever their ages are. You can have them come to Christ. You can bring them to Christ. Or bring them to church, I should say, that they may find Christ. And that it may help you to teach them. We must bring our children to Christ that they may learn about the Lord. The first place one should start at is the Word of God. We as parents must come ourselves to the Lord that we may be able to prepare and to train our children. Romans 10:17 says, faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We must be strengthened in our commitment to the love. God can give us strength through His Word. We must become doers of the Word and simply not hearers, according to James 1 and 22. Many of parents like wisdom, and the Bible has an answer for that too. In James 1 and 5, the Bible says, if any like wisdom, let him ask of God. In matters of raising up our children, the Word of God is a parent's greatest resource. It helps us to know how to teach as well as train them. Some of the diamonds of God's Word let us know some things about the Bible itself and about the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8, if any provide not for his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's a non-believer. You deny your kids and you don't provide for your own house. You deny your kids, you may as well be an infidel. It tells us the order of how the relationship of care between child and parents should go. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 14, children ought to not lay up for their parents, but the parents for the children. Parents, have you laid up for your children? Your children have no duty to lay up for you. You have to lay up for your parents. You have to lay up for your children, not the children for the parent. We must give our children the opportunity following our footsteps. For one day, they may become parents also. Jesus has a warmth for children. Some parents do not. Jesus laid His hands on the children. Some parents need to put their hands on their children. Jesus laid His hands on the children and departed. Many parents depart and never touch the children. As a parent, what will you leave to your children? For the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 22, A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children. So what are you leaving to your children this morning? Have you left an inheritance? You know, an inheritance doesn't always mean money. An inheritance can be what you have left in terms of their learning, for their getting along in life. Some of us don't have the money to leave our children. Some of us don't have any treasures and jewels to leave our children. But the one thing we can leave them with, we can make an attempt to leave them with, is knowledge and love and the training that we bring them up in. Why not teach them and train them in the way of finding the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ? So when I go back to this text again and I look for a moment, and I'm almost through right now, but as I look for a moment at what the text says, then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked him. See, some folk are not going to want you to deal with your children that much. They'd rather have you pulled out into the streets to be with them, and some of them don't even have children. You've got to learn to know how to treat your children. You've got to learn how to know how to teach your children right from wrong. You've got to learn how to train your children to be brought up in the love of God. When all is said and all is done, when everything has been finalized, you're going to have to answer for what you've done in this life. You're going to have to answer to what God has asked, what God has told you to do. And if you didn't do it, you're still going to have to answer. You're going to have to answer for every good or every bad thing that you've done in this life. Every idle word or deed that you have said and or spoken in this life. So I ask the question this morning. When you come to Jesus, or when you leave this world and you go before Jesus, can you really say, Lord, I left my children an inheritance. I taught them about you. Or I left them the wisdom and the knowledge to learn about you. I taught them the way to open the Word of God and to study the Word of God. I taught them that the Word of God is the right way to live their lives. Or will you tell them, I didn't have time, Lord? Or will you tell him, I should say, I didn't have time, Lord? Because one day, we're all going to have to answer for every idle word or every idle deed. Every eye shall see him. And we're going to see him. And I think about sometimes in the Bible where the Bible speaks to us of loving one another. But first we gotta love our children and our family. After that, then comes the love of our neighbors. Love thy neighbors as love thy God that with all thy heart and thy soul, and then love thy neighbors. And loving thy neighbors means also you gotta love, you might have to love somebody's kids down the street from you sometimes. Because maybe they didn't get the love at home. How many of you, as you were growing up, you had a place of meeting in somebody else's house because you felt comfortable in that other house? Sometimes even more comfortable than in your own house. Will your house become that kind of house? And I know that we're very careful today about who we let into our homes. We're very careful. You don't want to even open the door to let the mailman pass you a letter sometimes. Because you don't trust nobody. But we must love our children. We must teach our children. We must train our children. And we must prepare them to come to Jesus. When I think about all of the things that the children go through in this life today, I ask myself the question of this many times I ask myself this question. Did I do right by my own children? Oh yeah, I can second guess myself if I want to. Because many times when we look back in our lives, we find the best part of our lives are behind us. And so I ask myself, did I do everything I possibly could? Or did I do everything I possibly could have done to raise them up right? I think I did a pretty good job. And I just thank God that many folk in this world won't have the choice of the option of judging me, but only Christ will. And then if He asks me, I'll have to answer for myself. And so will you. So how are you treating your children this morning? Are you bringing them up to bring them unto Jesus? Are you bringing them up that they will be so far from Jesus that they won't know who He even is? They'll just know by name only. I heard the name of Jesus, but nobody ever taught me about Him. What will you leave inheritance? Will you leave your children? If you don't know what you're supposed to do, you need to come unto the Lord. And if you've never been baptized, you need to come, you hear the gospel, believe it, repent, confess, and then be baptized. But if you've already been a Christian, you've already been baptized, you ask yourself the question. You go to God and answer the question for yourself. If I'm doing the right thing, and if I'm not, you may come forward, ask the church to pray with you that you may live a better life as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 3.